You get ready for the word this morning? Ask the person beside you, say, are you ready for the word this morning? Ask the person back, all right? Let's raise our hands together and say, Our Father, name of your son, Jesus, by faith, in our hearts, humility, in our hearts, meekness in our hearts, we receive your word today without doubt, with inaccuracy and precision, together as a church. We behold Jesus Christ, your son, even as he sees us in him. In this service, he is glorified as we are edified together with the body of Christ. Amen. Matthew's Gospel chapter 1. Now, we're going to move a bit quickly. This service, I'll be teaching what I intend to teach the leaders in the afternoon, because we have a conference for leaders in the afternoon. So I'll give you a foretaste of glory divine. And I intend, because it's part of this series, it's not an extra, it's part of the teaching. All right, Matthew's Gospel 1:1. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham, and we've said this, that this is Genesis 5:1 being written. So the scriptures is taught or written in echoes. You see echoes. They are rewritten in application to another world. So that's why we came up with the concept of the identification unifier, where you pick a theme of another world and then apply it to another world. So that's what's going on here. Jesus is being seen as an Adam, a man. Okay? And that's why I said the son of Abraham, sorry, son of David and son of Abraham. But interestingly, in Matthew's Gospel 28, the same person now says in 18, Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all authority and all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. And that's definitely deity, heaven and earth. And we said, heaven is not where dead people go to. The Bible authors and the Bible audience didn't think about heaven as a space outside the earth. Heaven is within the earth. That is how they understood the concept of heaven. We did. That's one of the things that we taught exhaustively, I believe so. Somewhat exhaustively, because we're going to learn more in the first service. Verse 19, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Verse 20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Now, when it says, I am with you, a human being, just a human being cannot say that. I am with you is God's Exodus name. When he saves, delivers, and sets free, he says, I am with you. He said that to Jacob in Genesis 28. He said it to Moses, son of Israel. I am with you. So by using the word, I am with you to the end of the world, and we have said end of the world is not the world coming to an end. Hope that's clear. Uh-huh. It's not the world coming to an end. God is not going to destroy the earth. Is that clear? Well, let me say it again. God is not going to destroy you. And earth is not going to be destroyed. Amen. Looks like he wants somewhere else, right? The earth is your resting place. You sing it, don't you? Uh-huh. So you have to stay here, alright? Amen. So, by saying, I am with you. Man in verse 1, chapter 1. God in chapter 28, verse 20. So that's that, you know, that unity of God and man. And that's what we have. And you see that in the Old Testament. So you have Mark's Gospel 1:1, the beginning of the Gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. You know what? Beginning. So every writer is going back to Genesis. Genosos. Well, Genesis is in Matthew 1:1. Here you have the word arche, A-R-C-H, another word for Genesis. So everyone is going back to Genesis to write the story of Jesus. So Jesus' story is not a story from the four Gospels. It's a story from Genesis. Again, Mark 16, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. Again, that's a Genesis echo. Then 19, so now the Lord has spoken unto them, he was received unto heaven and sat on the right hand of God. How did they know? It means that heaven means the invisible world. Heaven doesn't mean to go out of the earth. It's not, you don't die to go to heaven. Is that clear? Well, let me say that again. You don't die to go to heaven. Is that clear? Heaven is a reality. It means the invisible world, the unseen world. That's what it means. And 20. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord walking with them, as Alice said, and confirming the word with signs following him. That's why I say you should listen to the first service teaching. We explain heaven here on earth. Right from scripture, you'll see it. So Luke's Gospel 1:1, for as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order the declaration of those things which have most assuredly believed among us. even as he delivered unto us, which were which from the beginning were high witnesses and ministers of the word. Verse 3, it seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee, in order most excellent Theophilus. And we said, this is the A part of the book of Acts. Acts 1:1, you see the introduction of Acts, it's to the same audience. Acts 1:1, the former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach. So this is the same person. In the first series, I showed them how the same narrative went through the book of Acts. Same thing you're going to read in Luke 24. You're going to see it in the whole book of Acts. So it's the same person writing and writing to the same audience for the same purpose. Luke 24 and verse 25. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? 27. Beginning at Moses, that's Genesis, into Deuteronomy. And all the prophets, he explained to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So the synoptic writers, including John, they always point you back to the Old Testament. The Old Testament carries the dictionary, illustrations, explanation of all the words, teaching of the epistles. Verse 44. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you, Luke 24, while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Then he opened their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures. John 1:1. In the beginning was the word. Alright? Is this a Greek word or an Hebrew word? Well, is the Greek word here is logos. But it's taking its meaning from where? Genesis 15, verse 1 and 2. Dabba Yahweh, the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord refers to God's visibility in the Old Testament, where people saw him. So John is saying to us that the God that was visible in the Old Testament is Jesus. So when he was seen in the four Gospels, not the first time he will be seen, but the first time he will be seen as a man. He's been seen in the Old Testament. Jacob saw him. Abraham saw him, Isaac did, Moses did, Samuel, they saw him visibly. Jesus was seen, Joshua did. Alright? So here he's saying, now the word, verse 14, became a human being. That's the word flesh, the sarx, S-A-R-X, in the Greek. Now in John 20 and verse 22, and he says here again, and when he said this, he breathed on them, John 20, and said to them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. He breathed on them. And we said to us, that the word here in the Greek is spelled emphusao, E-M-P-H-U-S-A-O. Now, definitely, Jesus used the Greek Bible of the Old Testament, which means that Jesus used translation, or call it interpretation. And the Bible he used the most, by scholarly studies, is about 75 or 80%, I think it's about 80%, is the Septuagint, the Greek rendering of the Old Testament. Which means that he taught Hebrew words in Greek language. Now, this word emphusao, that's used by John, is picked from Genesis 2:7. The Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. So what John is saying here, John is saying Jesus is God. That's what he's saying. That Jesus is God. By using emphusao for him, emphusao belongs to God. Ezekiel 37 verse 9. He's saying here that Jesus is God. You know, he doesn't stop there, really. He has Thomas. Anybody called Thomas here? Don't raise your hand yet. Thomas. Thomas said, I don't believe. Right. So the moment I see you, I say, what's your name, Brother Thomas? Oh. Which side do you want to touch now? Thomas said, I don't believe. He said, touch me. And Thomas did. And Thomas said, my Lord. In verse 20, my Lord, my God. Was again conferring the same status on Jesus that he is God. Now, this morning, I want us to look at something important. Now, I've told you a couple of times that over time, there are some words we use that are not biblically correct. And we use them, and there are some belief systems. I mentioned some of them, I told a story in the first service. That some things you, when you learn them early, too early, sorry, it might affect you. You know, my dad used to take us, I told this exact story, to watch movies. My granduncle is the late Chief Hubert Ogunde, called the great Thespian of Africa. And so we used to, in my hometown then, we used to see his films sometimes free. So this particular time, he took us to watch a movie at the Unilag main auditorium. And then they hadn't had the Senate building then. So we went there to watch. And they showed this film, Aye. I don't know whether you know what Aye means. Aye is world. Now it's used for the unseen world. So the fact was, I grew up struggling to understand the Yoruba language. You know, I started speaking Yoruba better when I left secondary school. I was struggling, you know. And some people don't believe it, you know, but that's the truth. So I didn't know what they were showing. I was just watching. I don't know what my dad took, but just punished all of us. Just looking. I just saw people drink blood and somebody flying at night. But what got my attention was the fact that the human being turned to a cat. And the cat was black. And the eyes were, from that moment until this day. You know, despite how many years ago, I still look at cats. And I'll say, is that not Sister Jimoke? Now, I guess I did something to you this morning. Now, look at that. I'm telling you, even now, there's still some belief. You just say, So, I don't like cats. I don't like animals. Now, hallelujah. I don't like animals. But cats? I look at the guy and say, how was that speaking in tongues? You know, there's some beliefs that you carry in your head like that. Really? And I just say, and it doesn't mean they are right. Some people believe things, they believe for the rest of their life and it's a lie. You know? And so there are some things that people have believed. And they believe, and you can even build a whole denomination on a wrong interpretation of scripture. A whole denomination. I remember it was in 1994 or 5. I had this man who believed a particular thing. I don't want to mention it so that you get the name of the church. And he was a leader in there. And he said, this is the scripture that is their motto, their motivation, their denomination. So I engaged him. About that day we had the conversation over 2 hours. He kept looking at the Bible. I kept looking at him. He said, are you saying we are all wrong? I said nothing like that. When did you get saved? He said, look, I may not be able to explain the way you are because your mouth is very sweet. I may not be able to, but I know. You know, I'm back then. I will bamboozle you with Greek words. I've changed. Then I could just teach in Greek. So I was just sitting there and I said, look at it. And the guy is looking at me. And I was very much. I said, oh, this boy nowadays, you just be reading all sorts of things. I said, I'm quoting the Bible. He said, oh! He's upset. I remember the thing because we were in a primary school. He sat on the chair. I was looking at him. And I was very arrogant. So he made it worse. I would say, relax, sir. Check your Bible a bit. How would anybody learn from you like that? Arrogant and very, very, very insolent. Silly boy. You want to laugh at me? So, you know, there was like that. Like we mentioned, the concept of people disappearing from the earth, a trumpet is blown, and they run away and they leave their clothes here, I think. There's a difference between movies and the Bible. Okay? That is never going to happen. Yeah? Because it's not in the Bible. Eh? It's not going to happen that. Pastor, are you sure? Years ago, I thought the series like that. And somebody came and said, Pastor, I've seen everything you have shown us. I'm convinced, but Pastor, are you sure? I said, yes. He said, are you sure, sir? I can see it. I can see it very clearly. Oh, Pastor, I hope one day. Oh, well, you know, if you're seeing one of those rapture movies, there are some folks that maybe miss this rapture. They'll go to their pastor's house, they hold their name, you see? You see, hey, we're all here now. Hallelujah. You know, I built on the series on the mansions. It was in 1995. People were looking. One guy got upset. He got angry. I got angry! He preaches it now. You know, sometimes you have held to those beliefs. Those beliefs. That the mark of the Antichrist. I think we looked at that last week. I gave you 666. If you bring 666 now, and I'm going to give money, I'll collect it neat. I'll say, how many places do you want to put it? You know, there was one guy who said, said he was doing deliverance for people. That people have been possessed now. I said, possessed. If you see a possessed person, you can't stay there. You'll be harassing fine girls that they are possessed. A possessed, you can't stay in a room with a possessed person. Someone is beside you and you say, she's possessed. You've not seen possessed person. You will look for another house. You don't know possessed. Huh? Some people, yes, they look like that. It doesn't mean that they are. You get it? You know, self-possessed. I did deliverance today. Several people, Satan has entered into their lives. They are Christians. I said, yes, so. He has entered their lives. Yeah, yes. And the thing was I was an associate pastor in the church, so he was a friend of my pastor then. So he said, yes! God should open our eyes to see what's going on. So I was really wondering, how did they enter? I said, there was a secret way the devil has been entering people's lives, and he has been destroying their life. I was really interested. How is this, Mister? Ha! He said, eating in dreams. I started laughing. He said, why are you laughing? I said, I ate today. He said, Remark was in the other room, so Remark said, "Bro, what's going on?" Because the guy said, "Huh?" So Remark came and said, "What's going on?" I said, "He's asking me why I'm eating in dreams." So he said, "Leave all these aching boys, you know." he said, "Don't argue with him. He's going to disgrace you." I said, "If I see food in my dreams, there is no meat. I won't take it." What is that nonsense? The Bible says that when a man goes to bed hungry, he will eat in his dreams. It's in the Bible. So they are taking your destiny. What is your destiny? Nonsense. He said he's in the dreams. I said the Bible told Peter, in a trance, said, arise, kill and eat. Not just eat, kill. Point and king. So I was saying, don't take Ilea meat. My mom would take Ilea meat from the neighbors. She would collect it. She would now be speaking in tongues. She would be throwing it away. You know, you have to be wise. The midwives were wise. So since we are the ones that will collect it at the gate, we'll give first fruit for the priest. You know when I told her, she was just laughing. We'll keep the first fruit. We'll give her small. One day, you know, my mom came back. She said, I looked at one of my guys. I looked at one of my guys. If you shake, don't punish you. So they were one day, can you? They say, Allahu Akbar, that's God is great. It's a language. Arabic, Allahu Akbar. It's a language. It's who you call God, that is God. Someone say, Eshu. I say, Eshu. E-S-U. If you say Eshu and you have Satan, that's your mind problem. You say Ogun. O-G-U-N. Ogu, 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 Ogu. It depends on what is on your mind. So, you say they are calling something and you, me and my friends will go to the road junction. We'll go and take a sacrifice. I will eat it. It's free food. When I said it one time, my mom was in the congregation. She looked at me. She said, brother. She's wondering, ha, what kind of child is that? You know, some things are really funny. They're really funny. She says, don't touch it. They say something else. There was one person I went for delivery. I said that his girlfriend gave him a lantern. That lantern, since he kept the lantern from his old girlfriend, years before he got born again, lantern. They said that was disturbing his destiny. Lantern. She didn't even use lantern. And they were delivering and he was... So what's your problem? Lantern. You know, there are things... Say thank God for his word. Say thank God for his word. You have to. Do you get it? That's what I'm giving him. He said, I'm crying. He said, I'm sick. I said, so I'm looking at the person. Maybe God is just managing me. Forget that. You're a proud person. Pastor, am I proud like this? You're proud. You hear God's word. You went for your feelings. Are you not proud? I'm what the word says I am. I have what the word says I have. Hallelujah. So we need to stick with the word. Is that clear? Now, over time, we have had things that have been transformed. Words. That's not the meaning in scripture. And this morning, I want to talk to you about the word pastor. Hallelujah. Pastor. That's what you call me, right? Now, I always tell you that when a scripture is wrongly interpreted, oftentimes a major truth is lost. You see, there's a wrong teaching of ministry gifts. I'm grateful for those who teach us, who taught us, and I'm forever indebted to them. Always in my life. And I'm also grateful that they gave us the foundation to make research. Okay? And to be grounded. There's a wrong teaching. And that wrong teaching, you have believers say, who am I? And they say, you are an apostle. I remember some boys, I just got them saved in late 94. Got them born again. So we used to have a lot of Holy Ghost meetings. And then if you got born again on a Monday, by Tuesday you're prophesying. That's how I used to train people there. So we're moving in the spirit. So I traveled out of Lagos and went to Badon for some meetings. Came back. So by the time I got back, they had given themselves titles. New convert, less than 1 month in the womb of Christ. What was the apostle? What was the Evan B? Pastor Faith. So when I heard them, I said, so who am I? I guess the high priest of our profession. You know? And you have that view. And you have, this fellow is an apostle. This fellow is a teacher. This fellow. Now, I know that what I'm saying is going to be quite difficult. You know, but no problem. You get it. This fellow is a prophet. This fellow is a pastor. Or even Ghana, a pastor. This fellow is an evangelist. An evangelist is somebody who organizes crusades and then all over the place. And he says, evangelist so-and-so. Who is a pastor? He's a quiet guy. He stays in the 608 street. And then he has some people under him. Who is a teacher? He just goes around the place teaching. Who is a prophet? You got that, right? Who is an apostle? Thank God for the cartoon. But that's not God's word at all. Now, I found out that this challenge came from quite many translations. I'm trusting God that the next couple of years, I'm engaged in Bible translations right now. I do some scholarly work for some new translations. But I'm trusting God that in years to come, we're doing that already in this church, we're working on new translations that may come out in the next 20 years. Though I said in July. So, now, The word pastor is found in Ephesians 4:11, and that's the only place where you find it. Where you find it. Just one place. And there is a huge challenge. I'm going to give you some more information later on, whether this word is a verb or a noun. Ephesians 4:11. You see why I'm teaching you this in a moment. And again, some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Now look at what King James has done. The word some there. Now if I say some in English, it means a part of a whole. Right? Now, but this is really not correct. Because this should be, he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers. That's the right word to use. Now you discover here, for example, if you pay attention, you notice that pastor and teacher is together. It's like a compound word. Can you see it? You have some pastors and teachers. You notice some pastors and some teachers. Okay. Now put that circle, we'll come back to it later. Now, again, let's sit where the church sat. Where did they sit? They start holding which books? They start holding which books? Genesis to Malachi. So the only way you can know the meaning of these words is reading Genesis to Malachi. Who's following this now? That is how you'll understand what is being said. Now, I can tell you for free that this phrase, I got an information here, this phrase, pastor, now used in the local church or for those who oversee congregations as an exclusive term, is barely 100 years old. That became a customary use within the churches. So we'll take it one by one. I trust God that translations in days to come, I'm reading something I wrote out to a group, days to come will correct this error. I said here, a lot of confusion, this is I did a presentation somewhere, could be avoided if we use this office according to New Testament pattern. The 1925 versions did correct it. However, there were revisions in 1963, 2000 and all that, that seemed to go back to the earlier confusion. We'll see that in a moment. Now, the Old Testament is what explains everything we just read now. The Old Testament. So, let's go to John 21. John 21. Pay very good attention. If you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they had what you call the Great Commission. You have Matthew 28:19. Make disciples of every nation. So there's always this sending out that Jesus does. In Matthew 10, he does the same thing. He sent out the 12. Luke 9 and Luke 10, he sends out the 12. Then the 72. Now, of course, 70 or 72, depending on what you're looking at. We said 70 represents what? First coming, huh? The nations. Okay, very good. So you have Mark also. There's a Mark 6, 12 and 13. Mark 3:14, yeah, just those are texts where you find Jesus sending people out to preach. Matthew 10, yeah, Luke 9 and 10. Then you have Mark 6:12 and 13. Then you have eventually Matthew 28:19-20, Mark 16:15-20. Put all those down. We'll see that shortly. Then you have Luke 24:47. Repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations. Then Acts 1:8, of course, you know, Acts and Luke are together. You shall receive power after which the Holy Ghost is come upon you. You shall witness unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Now, if you notice well, right, Jesus doesn't use those things we read in Ephesians with the 12 or with anybody whatsoever. So pay very good attention. Now, in John 21, he has this conversation with Peter. Verse 15. And when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than this? And Peter, of course, answered him. Peter said to him, Lord, you know I love you. He said to him, feed my lambs. In verse 16, he said to him again, the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, thou lovest me. He said, Lord, you know I love you. Feed my sheep. Then, verse 17, he said to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said, Lord, you love that. He said, Lord, you know I love you. You know these things, all things thou knowest that I love you. Feed my sheep. Okay. Now, the word here, there are two words he uses here, the word poimano, M-A-N-O, poimano. Okay? Then, feed my sheep. Poimano. He uses it three times. Feed my sheep. Now, this is the verb where we get pastor. What we read earlier in Ephesians 4:11 is the word poimen. P-O-I-M-E-N. Poimen. And that means shepherd. Shepherd. So you have here, shepherd my sheep, shepherd my lamb. He said that to Peter. Now quickly go to Matthew 9. Matthew 9. Now in verse 35, Jesus went about all the cities. Pay attention to what I just said now. It means to shepherd the sheep. Teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Now I want us to read verse 36 through to 37. Then we'll read chapter 10, verse 1. Let's go together. And when he saw, I'll wait for you. Are you there? Let's go. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion because they fainted. Go on. And were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Now, this is not the church. You know, it would have been great to say he's talking to believers. No. As sheep having no shepherd. You mark that out because we're coming to it in a moment. Look at 37. Let's take 37 here. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. 38. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he may. Now, send forth is another word for apostle. Send forth. So, 36, right? Pay attention. Matthew says there are sheep who have no pastor. Can we say have no pastor? Okay? Verse 38 says send forth apostle, laborers into his harvest. Look at chapter 10, verse 1. So what does he do? Then he called unto him is what? Who is a disciple? A student. So, now we have shepherd, laborer, apostle, disciple, or student. Write those things down. Then he picked 12 of them in two. Now, why does verse 2 call them apostles? Is it a title or their function? Now, let's say it again. Is the apostle there a title or a verb being seen as a noun? Why? Because he sent them. Were they apostles before he sent them, or the apostles after he sent them? So that means this should be seen first as a verb. Who's following what I'm saying here? Good. As a verb. So he sent them all out. 12 of them. Then it says, go into the way of the Gentiles. No, sorry, no, verse 5. But in until the Samaritans go ye after the lost, look at 6, go to the what? The lost what? Sheep. Sheep. Right? Are you following this? Go to the lost sheep. Okay? Go to the lost sheep. Look at verse 16. Behold, I send you forth as what? Sheep. Good. As sheep. So, we have this combination of words. Now, the way to understand what he's saying here is to see where Matthew got his interpretation from. Go to Matthew 9 again. As sheep having no shepherd. As sheep having no shepherd. Now, let's see where Matthew got there. Numbers 27. Numbers 27. Now, the background of this is that Moses, who led Israel out of Egypt, was told by God earlier on that he wouldn't take his people to the land of promise. God so told him that you didn't honor me before them, and therefore you will not take them to the land of promise. Okay, Moses is fine. Numbers 20. So, verse 15. Moses spake unto the Lord, saying, let's take 16 together. We're going to read 16 through to 19. Or through to 20. So let's go. Let the Lord God, Spirit of all flesh, set a man over the country, over the church. Okay, go on. Which may go out before them, which may go in before them, which may lead them out, which may bring them in. Or let's go. That the congregation of the Lord be not as sheep which have no shepherd. Verse 18. The Lord said unto Moses, take thee Joshua, the son of Nun. Now, Joshua is meant to be his disciple. Are you following? Are you seeing the pattern? Are you seeing the pattern? So go on. A man in whom is the Spirit, lay your hand upon him, and set him before Eleazar the priest, and before all the congregation, and give him to charge. Now look at verse 20. Slowly, let's go. And thou shalt put some of thine honor upon him. And now, the word some is italicized, so take it out. Thou shalt put of your honor upon him, that all the congregation of the children of Israel may be... Was that what Jesus did to the 12? Go to Matthew 10. So, did Moses give Joshua something when he laid hands on him? Come on. Now, what is honor? Honor means influence, right? Come on now. You there? Good. That means that Moses and Joshua shared the same office. Right? Good. Now, watch this. And Joshua was who to Moses? His disciple. Right. Now, good. Look at this. Matthew 10:1. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them what? Now, go to chapter 4 again. Jesus went about, verse 34, 35, preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Chapter 10, verse 1, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. So did Jesus also put his honor on them? Let me see your hands for following this. Are you seeing the pattern? Okay, good. So, Joshua was Joshua a shepherd? Was he a shepherd? Come on, was he a shepherd? Very good. Now go to 1 Kings. 1 Kings 22 and 17. First Kings 22 and 17. Now, this is Micaiah. I'll start from 14. Micaiah said, as the Lord liveth, what the Lord said to me, that will I speak. So he came to the king, 1 Kings 22:15. And the king said unto him, Micaiah, what shall we go against Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall we forbear? And he answered, go and prosper, for the Lord will deliver it unto the hand of the king. The king said to him, how many times shall I adjure thee, that thou shalt tell me nothing but that which is true in the name of the Lord? Now, let's take 17 slowly. All Israel scattered upon the hills as sheep that have not a shepherd. And the Lord said, these have no... Now, the word master there is teacher. So, let's go. These have no teacher. Let them return every man to his house in peace. Okay. So, which means the kings of Israel were shepherds. Let's see. For Samuel. And chapter 8. This is when Saul was chosen. For Samuel chapter 8. Okay, let's say 1 Samuel 10. Let's get time. 1 Samuel 10. Verse 1. Samuel took a vial of oil and poured it upon his head, that's Saul, and kissed him and said, is it not because the Lord has anointed thee to be captain over his inheritance? To be captain, verse 1 now, over his inheritance. That's how he's chosen. Okay. Go to Psalm 78. Now, let me add one more so you see that. So he is a captain over his inheritance. Then he tells him to do something else. He gives him these instructions. I'm going to read verse 5 and 6. After that thou shalt come to the hill of God, where there is a garrison of Philistines, it shall come to pass that when thou comest to the city, thou shalt meet a company of who? Prophets, coming down from the high place with a psaltery and a tabret and a pipe and harp before them, and they shall what? Prophesy. Look at 6. And the Spirit of the Lord, let's take that together, and the Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee, thou shalt prophesy with them, and shall be turned into another man. 7. Let it be that when these signs come unto thee, that thou shalt do as occasion serves thee, for God is with you. Now quickly, look at verse 11. Let's take verse 11 and 12 together. And it came to pass, when all that knew him before him saw, behold, he prophesied amongst the prophets. Then the people said to one another, what is this that is come to the son of Kish? He saw also among the prophets. Verse 12, then one of the same place answered and said, but who is their father? Therefore it became a proverb, is Saul also. So was he a prophet? Was he a prophet? Good. Look at Psalm 78. So the king was a pastor, right? What else? Also a teacher. Did you see that? And now a prophet. Come on. Are you here? Good. Psalm 78. Now, are these words used as offices or verbs? Pay attention to that. Psalm 78. This is about David. And verse 70. Learning something? You learning something? Let's take it together. He chose David. Let's take it slowly. He chose David, also his servant, and took him from the sheepfold. Okay, took him from the sheepfold. Let's go, 71, together. From following hills, great with young, he brought him to feed. Now, hold on now. That word feed is the word shepherd. So, have that. So, let's change the word feed to shepherd. Or can we say pastor? Does it work? It's the word ra, R-A-H, same word shepherd. Let's go. He brought him to... No, that's you, come on. Pastor. Does it make sense? Let's go. It brought him to what? Pastor Jacob, his people, and Israel is inheritance. 72, let me see, you are following? He pastored them according to the integrity of his heart and guided them by the skillfulness of his hands. So, the king is Pastor? Teacher? Prophet? Oh, good, 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 good. Let's see one more, one more, one more, one more. Now, the word evangelist is huagelion. From huagelion, where you have gospel. E-U-G-G-A-L-L-I-O-N. Huagelion. E-U-G-G-A-L-L-I-O-N. Huagelion. Now, it's from there you have the word huagelistis. E-U-A-G-G-E-L-L-E-S-T-E-S. E-U-A-G-G-E-L-L-E-S-T-S. Huagelistis. Now, interestingly, that word evangelist also is used 3 times in New Testament Greek. 3 times. In Acts 21 verse 8. Acts 21 verse 8. Philip the evangelist. Then Ephesians 4:11, we read that earlier. And 2 Timothy chapter 4. And verse 5. Do the work of an evangelist. Good. So that word, evangelist, alright, it means someone who carries the news of a king. Or a declaration of a king. So the king is an evangelist. The utterance of a king about a kingdom is the word evangelist. So the king is, pay attention, I see Isaiah 52, quickly just examine that. 52 verse 7. How beautiful upon the mountains, Isaiah 52 verse 7, are the feet of him that brings good tidings and publishes peace and brings good tidings of good and publishes salvation and said unto Zion, thy God reigneth. Is that a kingdom language? Huh? Thy God reigneth. Now, I'll just give you this text. This is where the word evangelist or to evangelize comes from. Go to Romans 10. Romans 10. This is Paul. And verse 14. Pay attention here, please. Romans 10:14. I'll start from 13. Let's take it together. Romans 10:13. You judge? Are you okay? Right. Romans 10:13. Let's go. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? 15. How shall they preach except they be sent? Stop. Sent? Sent is from apostle? Oh, good. Oh, let's see. As it's written, let's go. How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of... I thought we read that earlier. Huh? Okay, go to Isaiah 52. Anyone sent? Sent by Jesus? Let me see. Oh, good, good. So that scripture is about you? Is it about you? Okay, no. Isaiah 52 verse 7. Say unto Zion. What is Zion? When you hear Zion, Zion is kingdom. Because Zion is David's place. 2 Samuel chapter 5. 2 Samuel chapter 5. Alright, let's see. Let's read verse 6 and verse 7 together. Let's go. And the king, I'll wait for you. You in charge? All right, let's go. And the king and his men went to Jerusalem unto the Jebusites. I don't like that. Don't take it wrong. Unto the people. Let's go. Let's go. The inhabitants of the land and spake to David, saying, except thou takest away the blind and the lame, thou shalt not come in either, thinks David. Thinking David cannot come in either. Let's take 7 slowly. Nevertheless, David took the stronghold of Zion. The same is the city of David. So Zion is the city of the king. So when you say to Zion, is the news of a king. Now, this word here, bring good tidings, is where you have the word gospel and evangelist. I'll run through this text for you. Put it down. This word evangel or evangelist starts only. The first time it is used in 1 Kings. Now, if you have the Septuagint Bible, which is the Greek Bible of the Old Testament, you have it as 1 Samuel and 2 Samuel is 1 Kingdom, 2 Kingdoms. So 1 Kings is 3 Kingdoms. So every Bible student knows that 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, 1 Kings, 2 Kings are stories of a king and the kingdom. Now this word, which we call gospel today, or where we have the word evangelist. Evangelist means a gospeler. Someone who carries the news. Now every Bible scholar, if you check any Greek or Hebrew concordance, pardon me, this word was first used in, is first used in 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel 4:17. 1 Samuel 4:17. That's the first time you're going to see it. And 1 Samuel 31 verse 9. 2 Samuel 4 verse 10. 2 Samuel 18 verse 19. Verse 20, verse 26 and 31. 2 Samuel 4 verse 10. 2 Samuel 18 verse 19, 20, 26 and 31. So you see, it's synonymous with kings and kingdoms. There of course 1 Kings 1:42, I mentioned that earlier. 1 Chronicles 10:9. 1 Chronicles 16:23. 1 Chronicles 10:9. 1 Chronicles 16:23. Psalm 40 verse 9. Psalm 40 verse 9. Psalm 68 verse 11. And Psalm 96 verse 2. Psalm 40 verse 9. Psalm 68 verse 11. Psalm 96 verse 2. So it has to do with the utterance or activities of a king or the kingdom. Alright. Now, you now see it in Isaiah. Put this down. Isaiah 40 verse 9. Isaiah 41 verse 27. Isaiah 52 verse 7. That's twice. We read that earlier. Isaiah 60 verse 6. Isaiah 61 verse 1. I'll take it again. Isaiah 40 verse 9. Isaiah 41 verse 27. Isaiah 52 verse 7 twice. Isaiah 60 verse 6. Isaiah 61 verse 1. Now Jeremiah 20 verse 15. Jeremiah 20 verse 15. Nahum 1 15. Nahum 1 15. Now, which means the word evangelist or gospel relates with kings and kingdoms. But, what is a but? Where does that come from? Pay attention. Because as I said it now, you say kings. Oh, so a king. I have to be a king. Just relax. In Genesis 17, when God spoke to Abraham about his dream for all the nations. Genesis 17. Open there quickly. You always have to go back to the Old Testament to know the meaning. Is that very clear? Genesis 17. Verse 6. Let's take it slowly. Let's take 5, actually. Or let's take 4. From 4 to 6. You there? You there? 4 to 7. Let's go. As for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Hold on. 5. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be called Abraham, for a father of many nations. So look at the word many nations. So don't lose this. Now 6, slowly, let's go. I will make of thee exceeding fruitful, and I'll make nations of thee. And what? So are those nations going to be kings? Hello? See? Kings shall come out of you. Now, the news that a king bears is called what? Saints Community Church. It's called what? Gospel. A king is who? A gospeler. Which means? Evangelist. Exodus 19. Learning something? You learning something? So don't understand evangelists from people that ring the bell near you. Oh, that's not what evangelist is. Evangelist is a Bible word. Is that clear? It's not evangelist so so and so. That's not what defines evangelist. Exodus 19. Are you learning something here? So, those who get born again, who are saved through the gospel God gave to Abraham, will be called kings. Are they kings? Kings? So, which means it's a nation of kings are what do you say? Pastors? Teachers? Evangelists? Oh, that's interesting. So which means that when God promised Abraham, those who will come out of the faithfulness of God will be removed kings. Did you say high priest? I thought I heard someone say high priest. Or chief priest. Exodus 19, are you in church? Hallelujah. You learning something here? That's good, come on. Look at verse 5. Yeah. Go, let's read it together, come on. Verse 5 and 6, let's go. Now therefore, let's go. If you obey my voice, indeed, and keep my covenant. Is that the covenant to Abraham? Let's go now. Then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And slowly, verse 6, let's go. You shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. A kingdom. Actually, because the word there is, you have the word melech. It means kings and priests. Hallelujah. Kings and priests. So, Revelation. So whenever we hear we are in the kingdom of God, it means we are kings. Right? Revelation 1. So I learned something here. Revelation 1. No, don't go and change your complimentary card, okay? King Chego, something like that, Revelation 1:5. You hear? Let's take it together. This five. Let's go. And from Jesus Christ, I'll wait for you. Let's go. And from Jesus Christ, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Come on, hold on. Hey, hold on. The prince means the ruler of the kings of where? Is that the church? Lord? Unto him that loved us, let's go, and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Verse 6. Wow! We are kings. Glory to God. Yeah, come on. Revelation 5. And verse 9. And 10. Can we take it together? You learning something here? Are you cool? Are you okay? Let's go. And he sung a new song saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain, and has redeemed us to God. Who's he talking about here? Anybody? Hello? Is he talking about you? Come on, I don't know. Talking about you? Are you? Alright. By the blood out of every? And nation. Okay, 10. Is this still you? Made us unto our God what? Kings and priests. Made us kings and priests. Hallelujah. A king is a shepherd and teacher? A prophet? Amen. What else? An evangelist? Right? Oh, that's what a king is. It says we are kings. So, are kings servants? God's servants. That's what they are. They're God's teachers. They're God's shepherds. Glory to God. Learning something from this. Okay, so, which means the word kings is what The apostles broke into apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. Let me see if I'm getting this. Is it making sense to you? Now look at Numbers. Numbers 12. Yeah. Numbers 11, take that back. Are you okay? There is something here now. Now this happened that Moses, what am I going to say here now? Now, this is before Joshua, right? And then Moses is saying, Lord, I can't take this. This work is too much. You can read that from verse 11 to 13. I can't, these people are, you know, the burden is much. And God said to him in 16, let's see whether this is similar. Let's take 16 and 17 together, let's go. The Lord said to Moses, gather unto me. Does that ring a bell? 70? 70 is for the nations, right? Come on. So when you hear 70 or to the nations, is that apostle? Say it's coming in church. Is that apostolos? Let's go. 70 elders, let's go. Whom you know to be the, we're coming to this verse shortly, and officers over them, and bring them where? That they may stand with you. Take 17, let's say that's something we've seen before. Let's go. And I'll come down and talk with you. And I'll take up the, can I also say honor? Same thing. Which is upon thee, put it upon them. They shall bear the burden of the people with you, and thou shalt obey them. Did Jesus do this? Did he do this? But you notice that in the two instances, the people that were chosen were known to be elders, to be either disciples, students. Who's following this? Are you following that? Okay, no. Now look at what happened. Of course, what happened was eventually in verse 24 and 25. What happened? The Spirit was upon them and they prophesied. So you have pastor's favorite, Joshua 28, the servant of Moses. He ran to Moses and said, Lord, stop these guys. These guys didn't come to church. They are outside at the car park. And they are prophesying. Eldad and Medad. Two guys. Because 68 were in, two were at the car park. Something like that. And Moses, Joshua said, sir, there's some guys having the Holy Ghost meeting and they are not sitting in the church. They are in the children's church or there. So, and Moses answered back. Look at Moses' answer. 29, are you ready? Let's take it together. And Moses said unto him, enviest thou for my sake? Would God that all, oh my God. Did you see that? It's God's intention that how many? All his people were prophets. And the Lord would put his Spirit upon them. Hallelujah. Look at Psalm 105. So prophet, office or function? Office or function? Function. Oh, sorry. Title or office is actually function. Title or function. Alright. Good. You learn something? Psalm 105. Now, this is to describe the nation of Israel. Psalm 105. I want us to read verse 9 till 15. You ready? Let's go. Which covenant he made with Abraham, and his oath unto Isaac, and confirmed the same unto Jacob for a law, to Israel for an everlasting covenant. 11, let's go. Saying unto thee, will I give the land of Canaan, and the Lord of your inheritance. Let's go. And when they were but a few men in number, yea, very few, the strangers in it. 13, when they went from nation to nation. Oh, hold on. They went from where? That's missionary, right? From where? Kingdom. Hold on, slow down. 14, he suffered no man to do wrong. Yeah? He reproved kings for their sin. And do. So, all of the Lord's people are called prophets. So these are verbs. functional. So when the apostles are writing this, and precisely it's actually Paul, not any of them, only Paul used all those phrases the way we read in Ephesians 4:11. The others did not. So Paul was elaborate. The others did not. You will not find the others use Paul's phrases. They didn't. So, what was common? We're going to see. Now, look at Acts of the Apostles. Still out there? Acts of the Apostles. I'm going to read chapter 11. Now, before we get to chapter 11, we're going to see, we're going to run through so many texts, so you just pay very good attention. In Acts 1, right, you have the apostles. Now, verse 26, where Matthias was chosen, Acts 1, was numbered with the 11 apostles. Now, where were they called apostles? Did Jesus call them apostles? No. They are called apostles because he... Are you following this? He didn't call them apostles. But that describes what he sent them to do. So this is again a description. Now Acts 2. So if you read apostles at this point, you are reading either one or all of the 12. Now, for the sake of clarity, Matthias was added to them. Now in Acts 2:42, they continue steadfastly in the apostles. So we know who the apostles here, right? Come on. Then verse 43, signs and wonders were done by the apostles. Good. Now, Acts 4. Acts 4, 33. And with great power gave the apostles. Acts 4, 33. Acts 5, 12. By the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders done. Now, we have how many people here? How many are there? 12. They're 12. Because to know the people he's describing here, you go to Luke. Those that he sent out in Luke 9 are called apostles. Now, Acts 6, verse 2. Then the 12. So, another name you are going to find, they are called the 12. So is either they are called apostles or the... So we are specific. Good. Acts 8. Alright. Acts 8, verse 1. Saul was consenting unto his death, that's the death of Stephen. And at that time there was great persecution against the church, which at Jerusalem, they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. The apostles. Now, for the first time, look at verse 4. Let's take 4 together. And they, now this day, is it the apostles or the rest? They were scattered abroad and went everywhere preaching the word. And Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. So Philip went down to preach. Acts 8, verse 14. And when the apostles, still the 12? Hello guys? Okay. Heard that Samaria had received the word of the Lord. So Peter and John, were they part of the initial 12? Very good. Now. Acts 9. Acts 9, Saul of Tarsus is sent by Jesus. No stories about him again. Then Acts 10. Acts 10, you have Peter. Okay. So let's go to Acts 11, sorry. Acts 11. And the apostles and brethren that were in Judea heard Gentiles had received the word of God. The apostles and brethren. So something has been added now. Apostles and brethren. Okay? So, of course, they called Peter. Peter had to defend what he did. Acts 12. Oh, no, sorry. Acts 11. I skipped something very critical here. Now, in Acts 11, let's read 19 slowly. Let's go. Now, they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen, traveled as far as Phoenix, Cyprus, Antioch. Now, hold on. What is he describing here? Acts 8. Come on, go to Acts 8. Go back to Acts 8. He said, those that were scattered abroad upon the persecution of Stephen. Where did the persecution of Stephen happen? Acts 7. Right? So by Acts 8, we read it earlier, that people went abroad. Acts 8:4. So Acts 8:4 is Acts 11:19. Are you seeing it? Let's look at it together. So Acts 11:19 is pointing back to where? Acts 8:4. So it's describing how far they went. They went everywhere and preached the word to none but to Jews only. Some of them were this and then went on and on. Now, go close. Now look at verse 26. And when they had found him, they brought him to answer that Paul. And it came to pass the whole year, they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. Disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. Now let's take 27 together and slowly. And in those days came prophets from... Now, these prophets, were they part of those we read in 19? Huh? Yeah. So which means some of those folks were also called prophets. Is this sensible? You getting that? And there stood one of them whose name was Agabus. So this is the first time we're going to hear about another function. It says prophets. Now Acts 12. Now in Acts 12, we see Peter had to, you know, leave the church because of persecution. So in Acts 12, what did he do? Verse 17. He beckoning unto them with the hand to hold their peace, declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of prison. This was when he was rescued. And he said, go show these things to James and to the brethren. So this is delegating authority to James. This is the first time we're going to read about this James. Now look at Acts 13. Verse 1. Let's take it together. And, Seven, first time? No, we had read teachers where? Acts 11. Why are they called teachers? Go back to Acts 11. I'm teaching you simple Bible study. Acts 11, always read it together. Acts 11, verse 24. Let's take it together. Oh no, 26. 25 and 26. Now, is this the church at Antioch? So let's go 25 to 6. To seek Saul. 26. And when they found him, they brought him to where? So it came to pass, a whole year, they assembled themselves with the church. And, okay, so we had their teaching. In the same place, we also have 27 prophets. Are you here? Are you here? So go to Acts 13. Let's take Acts 13, one again. Now, we have a church, which are Antioch, certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas. Are they part of the ones in Acts 11? Okay. Barnabas, Simeon, that was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manahem, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. So, pay attention here. They are called prophets because of what we had read earlier. Agabus stood up and gave the word of the Lord. So he's called what? So that word is first a verb before it's a noun. Let me see how you are getting this. Good. So, now what happened here was, look at verse 3. Let's take 3 together. Verse 2. Let's take 2 together, let's go. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereto I have called them. Let's take 3. And when they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them and sent them away. 4. Okay, hold on. Sent for, is that apostle? Oh, I say, yeah. So, Acts 14. Of course, you read that by Barnabas and Saul. Acts 14. Verse 1 through 4. Let's go. It came to pass in Iconium that they went forth both together to the synagogue of the Jews and spoke. Both of Jews, also of the Greeks believed. 2. And the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. 3. Long time therefore abode they speaking boldly in the Lord, giving to the word of his grace, granted signs and wonders. Hey, signs and wonders. Okay, look at 4. And part held with the Jews, and part with the... So who are the apostles here? Barnabas. Why are they called apostles? Because in chapter 13 they were... Who's following this? So it is first of all what? A verb. Someone learn something here? Come on, let me see how you're getting this. Alright. It's first of all a verb. Before you read it as a noun. Okay, good. Acts 15. Now, this is where, okay, before you get, Acts 14. This is important. Don't lose this one. Let's read verse 21 through to 23. Let's go. And when they had preached the gospel to that city, and I taught many. Okay, preach the gospel, evangelist. Hello, people. Are you here? And taught many. Now, are they functioning here as kings and priests? So let's go. That they returned to Lystra and to Iconium and Antioch. 22, let's go. Confirming the souls of the word confirming there is not the one they do in some churches where they give you Holy Communion. It means to strengthen and establish. So let's change that word to establish, I beg. Let's go. Establishing the souls of the disciples. Now notice again the disciples. Let's go. And exhorting them to continue in the faith. I thought you were reading. I'm not reading for you. Enter into the kingdom of God. 23. Elders in every church. Oh, so a new word has entered. What's that word? Elders. But hold on. We had read elders somewhere earlier. Where? Numbers. Is it working? Okay. Wait. Moses also called elders and... You're getting this, right? He put the honor on them. Hello, guys. Is this working out? So, chapter 15. So, who became elders? Disciples. Okay, good. Acts 15. Now, let me give you the background. Paul and Barnabas had issues with some brethren who felt they were not to preach to Gentiles, so the issues went up and on. Now, look at verse 2. And therefore, Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension. Let's go on that. When therefore, Acts 15 2. When therefore, Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension, disputation with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and seven other brethren should go up to... Now, pay attention here. Jerusalem, we read about Jerusalem earlier. Right? Jerusalem? Unto who? Now, when we say the apostles here, are we referring to all apostles or the 12? Yeah. Why? Because we mentioned... Come on, you guys are getting it. We mentioned where? Okay, good. So, now, and elders. Apostles and elders. Peter, right. So, yeah, we went on and on and on. Verse 4. When they had come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church and of the apostles and... Okay, verse 6. And the apostles and came for to consider this verse. So, now at this point, we are using apostles. We are not including Paul yet. Why are we not including Paul? Because we are referring to the particular 12. Who's getting this? Aha. So you must always find out which apostle of where. It's not a title. No. It describes what someone has done or is doing. Are we getting this? Good. Now, so we have the 12. Then we have elders. So they brought it to the apostles and elders. Okay. So, Peter got up and spoke. Verse 7. Then eventually, James. Verse 13. Now, remember, Peter handed over the work to who? Read that earlier. Good. So, they went on and on. Now, let's take verse 22. And it pleased thee, and who? Elders. With the whole church. To send chosen men of his own company to Antioch with Barnabas and, very good. Now look at 3. They wrote letters, the apostles and elders and brethren. Okay. So we have now apostles from Jerusalem, the 12. We also have apostles from Antioch. Hello? Is it clear? Come on, good. Now we have elders. Now watch this now. They sent, they now, I missed something now. Go back to 22. They chose Paul, Barnabas, and now had Judas. Now that's not the one that hung himself up. Judas named what? Barnabas. And Silas. Chief among, now chief there means those who were seen as mature. Is also elders? Huh? Among the brethren. Okay, so they sent them. Now, look at verse 32. Now, they went for Barnabas, Paul, Judas, Silas. They went with them. So when they got to the churches, look at 31. Let's take 31 through to 34. Let's go. Which then had read the joys for the consul 32? Judas and Silas being... Okay, so part being called an elder, right, is... Listen now. An elder is also what? Huh? Okay. Teacher? Okay. Were they sent? Evangelist? Oh, let's see. Okay. Okay. Exhort the brethren with many words. So 34. Notwithstanding, please, Silas to abide there still. So we have seen. Pay attention. Go to Acts 21, the last one, then we get to the Old Testament. Hope you're learning something. Are you okay? Are you cool? Acts 21, let's see. Verse 8. The next day, we that were Paul's company departed and came to Caesarea, and we entered to the house of Philip the... Now, why is he called evangelist? Is this something they saw on his house? A title? No. Luke is taking us back to where? Acts 8. Philip, the one who preached. Not the title. Are you getting this? So, when we see it as a noun, we go back to see the verb. Okay. So, it's a verb that is now used as a noun. Now, go to Acts 20. This is Paul. We're going to read 16 to 17. You ready? You ready? Let's go. For Paul had determined to sail by Ephesus. Let's go. Because he would not spend the time in Asia. For he hasted. For it was possible for him to be at Jerusalem the day of Pentecost. Let's take 17 slowly. And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called elders of the church. Now, elders of the church... We understand that reading the Old Testament. Are you here? Now, look at who these elders were. In verse 18. Let's take it slowly. 18. And when they were come to him, they said to him, you know that from the first day that I came to Asia, After what manner I'll be with you all seasons. So that means we know the people he's talking about. Acts 19. When he came to Ephesus, he met this certain set of people in verse 2. Certain disciples, verse 1. Verse 2. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? What did he do? He preached unto them. They were baptized in the name of the Lord. He laid his hands on them. They were filled with the Holy Ghost, spoke in tongues in 6. Let's take 7 together. And all the men were about 12. Okay? So, he went to synagogue and spoke, and people disputed. What did he do in verse 9? Let's take 9 together. Were hiding and believed not, but spake evil of the way before the multitude. He departed from them and separated. Okay? Disputing daily in the... So, he did it for how long? Space of verse 10? Space of what? 2 years. So, this set of people were the folks he sent for in Acts 20. So, they are his disciples in Acts 19. They are now, what are they now? Let me see how they are getting this. They are now elders. Now, elder will mean they have now grown in age. They have now matured. Can we say growing spiritually? Somebody learning something here. Okay, go to Acts 20. Verse 27. We're going to take 27 to 28. Are you ready? Are you ready? Let's go. For I've shown not to declare unto you all the... Come on, guys. I'm not hearing you. 28. And to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you... Now, hold on now. The word overseer is what we now have as we call bishop today. Episcopos. E-P-I-S-K-O-P-O-S. That's a new word. Episcopos. Now, today we call it bishop. But this is what it is. Episcopos. Now, let's take that again. Let's go again. Take it therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock. Let's go again. Come on. Over which the Holy Ghost has made you. Come on, use the word bishop. Has made you.
Bishop.
To. No, no, no. The church. So, overseer. Now, the word bishop means someone who is a supervisor over an area. It's a Greco-Roman word. Now, the king in scripture, is he a superintendent over an area? People? Shepherd? Teacher? Okay, so this is this the king's responsibility? Huh? Who's learning something here? You get it? Okay. So, which means a general word for all those offices is what? Yes. King. King Paul. It's what? Which is more general? Elder? Huh? Boy, call me elder tomorrow. You know. Elder. Now, let's see. Watch. 1 Peter. First Peter 5:1. Are you there? Let's go. This is Peter speaking to the church. Let's go. 1, 2, go. The elders that are well, I exhort. Whom I'm also... Okay, wait. So, is every apostle also an elder? Good. I'm also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also part of the brother. Now, let's take 2 together. Huh? Oh, change the word. Let's go. Okay, go on. Taking. What's oversight again? Bishop. Okay, let's go. Come on, keep reading. Or willingly, not a fully looker, but a ready mind. Neither has been lord over God's heritage, but being examples. Now, I'm going to tell you your spring. This is exactly what God warned Israel about when it comes to Saul. This text is from First Samuel. Let's take verse 4 together. And when the chief shepherd. So who is the chief shepherd? Jesus. He's the king of what? That senior pastor. You got it. Lead pastor. Is he the archbishop? Getting it?
Very good.
Lord of lords. Yeah. So he's called the chief shepherd. Elders. Look at John. 2 John 1. The elder unto the elect lady and her children. Elder. 3 John 1. The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius. That's interesting. James 5. James 5. Verse 14. Let's take it together. Is any sick among you? Let him call for thee. So what's more common? Huh? Very good. So the elders are those who function as apostles, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. So who is the elder? Go to Exodus. Someone learning something here? Exodus. So, kings, pastors, huh? Okay, good. Exodus 17. Verse 5. The Lord said to Moses, go on before the people and take with thee elders of Israel. Now this, the Hebrew word here is Zaken. Z-A-Q-E-N. Elders of Israel. Okay? So elders of the people. Now go to Exodus 18. Now in Exodus 18, something that happened. Moses was doing the teaching. He will preach, teach, minister to the people from night, morning till night. So Jethro, his father-in-law, showed up. Okay? Now, look at verse 13. Came to pass in the morrow that Moses sat to judge the people, and people stood by Moses from when? Morning till evening. That's not WCC, right? Okay. Let's take 14 together. And when Moses' father-in-law saw all that he did to the people, he said, what is this thing that you do to the people? Why sit thou alone and all the people stand by thee from morning till evening? Moses said, well, father-in-law, because the people come to God to inquire, come to me to inquire of God. When they have a matter, they come to me, and I judge between them, and he kept saying, you know, things like that. Now, this is the office of a pastor, right? Hey. Is that what it is? Come on. Now, look at verse 17. When his father-in-law said, the thing you do is not good. Thou will surely wear away, both you and these people that are with you, for this thing is too heavy for you. Thou shalt not be able to perform it yourself. I give you counsel. God be with you, before the people, to God, that thou mayest bring the causes to God. Now let's take 20 slowly into 21. Let's go. Thou shalt teach them ordinances and laws, shall show them the way where they must walk, and the work that they must do. 21. Moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people, able men, such as fear God, men of truth, 18. Come on now. Is this spiritual growth? Is this spiritual growth? Now go on. And place such over them to be rulers of thousands. Is this branch pastors? You got it? Branch pastors? Don't forget it. You get it? Rulers of thousands. Fellowship leaders. House fellowship leaders. Rulers of fifties and rulers of ten. Alright. Are these the same people that we saw as prophets later? Sent to the nations? Oh, good. So the real issue is spiritual growth. Where there's spiritual growth, we're going to see an elder. Every believer is not an elder. But every believer should be, if he's growing, and The proof of growing spiritually will be to function as an, in the congregation, as a king and priest. Let's break it down. Apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. So where a believer is not functioning in all those things, he is not growing. How about that? He is not growing. So they are not titles. No. They are functional upon spiritual growth. So they are not titles. They are functional upon spiritual growth. That's why the first time, look at Acts 6. The first time. You learn something? You see why this incorrect teaching is why some believers will say, I am not called to the ministry. Where did you get that from? You did not find Jethro saying, look for those that God has called. Said, look for able men, those who are growing. In Numbers 11, God said, look for those who are the elder, those who are mature spiritually amongst the people. Hallelujah. You learning something, eh? Acts 6. So there's no such thing as I'm in the marketplace. It's not just marketplace, it's in the book. Acts 6. So if you are not functioning in these offices, it means you are not growing. Acts 6. Now, the problem here is, food wasn't getting to some widows. In those days when numbers of disciples were multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in daily ministration. Then the disciples, the 12, sorry, called the multitude of disciples to them. Look at who they call. Who did they call? Who are disciples? You attend prayer group? Huh? Disciples are students? Learners, prayer group, study group, they go out for evangelism with us, they attend church regularly. Hello, church! Don't do like you are reading, don't read anything. Huh? Or guys who are active on Facebook. No? He says, look among you. Huh? We're going to see that shortly. It's no reason we should not go on something. Let's take three together. Wherefore, brethren? Who are the you? Those who attend church every Sunday? You don't have to talk of those who come when they like? Among who decide? Who's a disciple again? Students. Amen. How many of you, when you were students, used to attend lectures when you are led? Or they say, we have lectures tomorrow. So, I don't think I can be chance though. I have a wedding. We have exam, we write to your faculty. You know, my grandfather died. And we have to go for, they'll say, our deepest condolences, which will be extended when you come back for the same course next year. Amen. Ask someone beside you, say, are you a disciple? Answer. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. All right. Look among you, okay, look at three, let's say, seven men of what? Full of the Holy Ghost and full of wisdom. Is that similar to Jethro? Huh? Whom we may appoint over this business. Amen. So where you see a believer with no responsibility in the local church, he's not growing anywhere. He's not. So the offices are offices of spiritual growth. We're going to build on that as we proceed. Let me show you one more. At the judgment seat of Jesus, look at 2 Corinthians 5. What we call the judgment seat. Now, the judgment seat is a bema seat. It's like a rostrum in the Greco-Roman culture, where people come, you know, where they get all these medals. And they call first place, second place. So the judgment seat is where it's used for a race. That's why Paul uses the race narrative a lot, to run the race. The judgment seat of Christ, see how it's described, 2 Corinthians 5. Let's take verse 9 together. Are you there? I'll wait for you. Let's go. Wherefore, come on, let's read out. Wherefore we labor. Let's go, read out. That whether absent or present, we may be what? Let's take 10 slowly. Let's go. For we must all appear. Okay, good. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Everyone will receive things done. Now, you think the body he's talking about here is your physiology? Which body? Body of what?
Christ Jesus.
And he says, good or bad, some will be ashamed because Jesus gave gifts, apostles, prophets, evangelists, poimen and didaskalos. That is Jesus. The five or four. That is Jesus. So what does he do? Just like Moses, he puts that honor on us. Hallelujah. So I have his honor. What is his honor? Apostle? Prophet? Evangelist? Is it money? So I see the glory of God in my life. Thank you. Brother, you've been shining this day. It's the glory of God. It's the glory of God. How is that the glory of God? That other people without Jesus have easy. In fact, those are who you are copying. Say, I like your hair. It's the glory of God. We go. It's the glory of God. I like your car. It's the glory of God. It's the glory of God. And as they are going, is that here? What's wrong with this glory of God? The breath of the glory of God has problems. The glory of God is the work of the Spirit. He puts his honor on you to function as kings and priests in the earth. That is the glory of God. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask you, what do you have before the Lord today? What do you have? Spiritual growth, right, has fruit. The fruit has to be service. Philippians 2. In Philippians 2, Philippians 4 actually, see Paul. Hallelujah. You know, people talk about a crown. You say, I'm going to take a crown. A crown. What is a crown? What crown? The word crown in the Greek, right, means reward. A reward for work. There's no crown for being the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I am. After that, Philippians 4:1. Are you there? Wherefore, my brethren, dearly beloved, longed my what? Joy. Are you here? And my crown. Your crown refers to people. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. A crown. So when we talk about a king and the crown of a king, the crown of a king are the territories, right? Hello, church? The territories. Are the territories estates of people? People. Crown. So spiritual growth is evidenced by the work of the ministry. Service. 1 Thessalonians 2. I close here. Let's read verse 9. I love how Paul started. Let's actually start from 17. Let's read it together. Let's see, you know, how Paul saw this. And how every believer should. Now, he wants to go to Thessalonica. But there are challenges. Today, maybe visa problems. Maybe the COVID time when there was a lockdown. Or maybe there's restrictions. See what Paul says. Let's read 17 to 19. Let's go. We brethren. No, I want you to come on. Let's take it together. Come on. For we brethren, been taken from you for a short time. In presence, not in heart. I love that. I'm not with you, right, but not in heart. You are always on my, go on. Endeavor the more abundantly to see your face with great desire. Come on, let's take 18. Wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us. Let's take 19. What is our hope and our joy? Our crown of rejoicing are not even you in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ at his coming. 20. For you are our glory and our joy. Are there people like that? You carry in your heart to pray for, to see, to teach, to instruct, to look after for the Lord. If there's no one like that, you are an empty believer. I'm not talking about giving people food and shoes and clothes. That's good. It's commendable. I'm saying those that you feed the word of God. Those that your life is like their life. Those that your dream is their dream. What kind of a Christian are you? How long have you been saved? And you have been taught the word of God night and day. Where are the functions of Christ through your life? Where is the honor that Christ gave you to serve? Paul says, I know we can't get to you, but see, you're always on my heart. Or are you a believer that all you think about is yourself? Yourself, your family. Loving family is selfish. That's the truth. Loving your wife is selfish. Loving your children is selfish. No wrong in that, but it's selfish. Service. You are available to be that king that God wants you to be in the earth. And the priest. Like I told you earlier as I was starting, the wrong interpretation of those things hasn't helped many believers. Does God want all of us to be elders? What's an elder? A mature believer. Right? And he wants us to function in that of a king and priest in the earth. That is his desire. What kind of life are we living? Hallelujah. Are you here? Bow your heads and just pray. What kind of a Christian life are you leading? Bow your head. Stand to your feet. Lift your hand wherever you are. Lift your hand. I'm giving you an instruction. Lift your hand. Paul says we raise our hands. I want you to pray for your Christian life. Lift your hands and pray. Lift your hands. What do you have now? What do you have? What do you have? See, before we go ahead, remember the part is in my note, but because of time, the parable of the talents. Jesus said, the kingdom hold. He's going to a far country. He now gives talents. Now talent is money. Now what is precious to God in this earth? Material things or people? Which means that there are people God gave to you. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Have you been faithful with them? Paul says, you are our joy. You are our rejoicing. You are the glory. How long have you been a Christian? They still bring you to church. You still just miss church. They still force you to pray, to study. That's a shameful Christian life. Shameful. Look at the light that you have. Not so much, but enough to be a responsible Christian. Can you call yourself an elder? A mature Christian who is taking responsibility for others. Lift your hands. Speak to God from your heart. Lift your two hands. No matter your age or your status this morning or this afternoon, lift your two hands and speak to God from your heart. From your heart. Say something to Him. Say something to Him.
Lord, I wanna be more.